All right, guys, welcome to Deborah Gets Red Pilled, episode number 31. It's Friday, what is the date?
Today's February the 12th.
And it's a snowstorm here in Portland, Oregon. It's about 27 degrees out, and it's been snowing for 12 hours straight. And there's no signs of it slowing down.
I was talking to Em. She was FaceTiming me, and she showed me the snow outside there. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's kind of the crappy, like, icy, crunchy snow.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's cool to see every once in a while. I don't mind it today because I don't have to work until Tuesday. But it becomes a bummer when you have to like get out and go about your daily routine and go to work when it's like this. So,
yeah.
But how's everything been going?
Good. This was a decent week. We got some rain, which we needed. It rained last night a whole bunch, and now it's blue skies and beautiful. So, that always is something to cheer me up.
Cool. How was your workout?
My workout was fine.
Yeah. Well, our guest is going to be here in about 15 minutes.
Okay.
Let's get some business out of the way. So, let's see. We are doing the value for value model, guys. And so if you're getting any value out of the show, please consider giving us a donation and recommend us to your friends and family and subscribe and leave us some 5-star reviews. It really helps. This week we got some donations. So we got one from Sir Chris James from the No Agenda podcast. We got another donation from Anthony from down in the Bay Area.
Wow.
He's been a regular donator to the show, so we really appreciate it, Anthony. Thank you.
Sure do.
And then we got one from Samuel P. I'm not sure if he wants us to say his last name, so I'll just say the initial. But yeah.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much. Sent,
like, really, really nice messages with it and saying that they're enjoying the show. So this week we also got some emails. We love getting emails from you guys, and I forwarded a couple to you. So the first one we got was from our friend Big Country from the Whiskey, Beer, and Conspiracies podcast, who have been a past guest on our show. And he was not on board with the Sandman's description of what happened on January 6th. And I'm with him on that one. And so we also got another email from our friend Rianne, who lives in Germany, but is from New York. And she wrote a really nice, thoughtful email talking about how impressed she was with you for being able to humble yourself and admit that you may have misquoted somebody. What did you think about that email?
Oh, I responded to her also, grateful, just grateful that, you know, if people hear something that they, just people don't usually go out of their way to give a compliment. And she went out of her way, and I appreciated that a lot. And, you know.
Yeah, it's cool that, like, a situation where you may have been nervous or, like, thought that people would be mad at you or something turned into a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the draw to our show is it's not just me and somebody who's like me talking and agreeing on everything. You know, it's kind of like people are witnessing this crazy, uncomfortable process that we're going through, and it's really I think people, it really resonates with people because everybody like me has somebody like you in their life, and most people aren't able to discuss things with them. And the fact that you're so open-minded is really not the normal way for most people. So yeah, I think honesty is the best policy for our show, and we're going to keep going at it, and we're both going to keep making mistakes, and it's going to be all out there for everybody to see. So we're going to keep doing it. And yeah, we got, so Rianne said she's going to keep emailing us. She said she might give us another donation on episode 33, which is coming up. And we've got some great guests on the way. We did Gray America last weekend. That went pretty well. I wish we could have talked to him for longer. We've got some good stuff coming up. And if you guys want more of me, which you probably don't, on Friday night, on the 19th, I'm going on. So next week, I'm going on my friend Matt from New Hampshire's show called The Resistance Chronicles. So I think we're going to talk about chickens and farming and homesteading. He's a chef, so maybe we'll talk about like farm to table and food production and all that stuff that I want to get into on this show too. And then on Saturday the 20th, if you are a Patreon supporter of Monica Perez, I am going on her show to talk about freedom cells and the underground farmers markets that we've been doing. And I'm really excited for that. Talk about agorism and how I got to where I am, philosophically. I'm a little nervous because she's like a very, well-researched, smart lady who's read everything of importance as far as like anarcho-capitalism and libertarianism. And
she retains it.
Yeah.
I don't know how she can keep all that information.
I mean, she went to Harvard and Stanford. So, and she's not like a legacy rich kid. She like earned her way in. So I pretty much just told her, like, she said, like, she'd sent me an email saying like, okay, we'll talk about this and your philosophy on this. And I was like, I'll do my best. I'll brush up on this Samuel Conkins book. But I just have to be honest. I'm not like really well researched on libertarian philosophy. I think that's why agorism appeals to me, is because I'm like willing to actually like, I'm good at building stuff and doing physical things and getting into action rather than like sitting and debating with people over, what the non-aggression principle entails.
I think you're perfectly capable of holding your own.
Yeah. So yeah, hopefully that goes well. I know it'll go well. And Monica Perez has, I think, been the greatest supporter of our show. She talks about us on her daily show a lot, just to promote what's coming up with me and her. And she's come on twice, no questions asked, really easy, and just been really helpful and kind to us. So we'll be forever grateful to her. We got another email from this guy, Alex Beltran, and he said he really liked the show. He said if we want to get into Antarctica and Nazi occultism and giants and things like that, there's this guy who's a Christian author named Steve Quayle, and we could try to get him on the show. I think I've heard him on another show before. And yeah, that'd be really good too. So let's see, what else we got going on? How did you, what are you reading right now?
I'm kind of off the intellectual stuff, and I'm reading a fiction book right now.
Danielle Steele.
No. No, it's called, I can't think of the name of the author because I just started it, but it's called Mexican Gothic.
Oh, yeah. What's it about?
I don't know yet. So I'm just in the very early stages. A woman goes to check up on a sick relative, as far as I know.
I know some Mexican goth girls. They're usually pretty large.
No, I don't think this is about that.
Yeah. So what does she do? She goes to Mexico?
Yeah. She lives in Mexico City, and she goes someplace up in the mountains to this mysterious house to visit her cousin, who's a newlywed and living with this creepy family of her new husbands. And that's it. That's where I am. And Cubby is making all sorts of noise, so I'm going to have to let him go outside or something before he starts tearing up the house.
Okay. Yeah, you can go let him out. You need to go right now?
No.
Okay.
I'll wait till we...
Okay. So, did you ever get through Thaddeus Russell's book? The... Renegade History of the United States?
No, but I did enjoy the little bit that I read, so I'll pick that one up again. I'll tell you the one I could not get through is Comes a Pale Horse. His stream of consciousness, I can't follow.
You couldn't, Mark Jacobson's book,
Pale No.
Horse Rider?
No. Bill Cooper's book.
Yeah, that's a tough read. I wouldn't expect you to get through that. I thought you were reading Mark Jacobson's book.
I did read that, and
you finished it?
I haven't finished it yet. No, I've that got one's good. All these. Yeah.
Yeah, I suggest to read that. Bill Cooper's book is good, I guess, but it's kind of outdated, and a lot of the stuff in there has been proved wrong. So, yeah, but. I brought up Thaddeus Russell's book. So Thaddeus Russell has the Renegade University, and it's kind of like an online school where he has different class. You join for like $49 a year, and it gives you one credit, or you can like join with more, pay more money and get more credits. And then there's different online classes that you can take. And they each cost, you know, some cost one credit, some cost three credits. So I just joined, you get one credit, and then you can buy more if you want to do other classes. And then you get, you can take classes. And then if you're a member, then every week they have like streaming Zoom calls and stuff like that. But I joined because he's having a 4-part class in March on 3D gun printing.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I have a 3D printer, and I never set it up. You know, I keep admitting to all this stuff that's just putting me on more and more government lists on the air. So yeah. I'm really looking forward to it. It's 4 Wednesdays in March, and should be pretty, I'm technologically inept, so I've had it since the summer, and it's just sitting under my couch in a box. So
I just can't even fathom how those things work.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So it's yeah. But let's see, what else do we have going on? Yeah, so I'm really looking forward to Sundays. Sunday we have this guy named Matt Freeman, and he's from this podcast called the Status Quo Podcast, and he's had a rough go at life, and he's turned it around. We're gonna talk to him about that. And we got the Odd Man Out coming back on next Sunday, so that should be
on the 21st.
That's awesome. he landed on episode 33 just randomly, so that's cool. And yeah, got some other good stuff for the rest of the month, and then I'm working on booking March. I've got a whole bunch of stuff in the works, a couple things permanent, and then a couple things we're just trying to work out the details. So yeah,
exciting.
Yeah, still never heard from the guy who didn't show up on us last week.
Kind of well,
you know what even makes it even more of a bummer is I sent him, it was all correspondence on Twitter, and then like, you know, like we go to like worst case scenario, like, oh well, maybe he you know, had a catastrophic health failure, but he's like posting on Twitter like every day. So yeah, our guest is here. Let's pause. You're gonna go let the dog
I'm gonna
out.
Go let gonna go to my dog out.
Okay.
And we'll be back.
We'll be back, guys. All right, guys, we're back and we're here with our guest. And this week it is ATN de la Buisi Squared. How's it going, man?
It's good. It's good to be with you and your audience, Adam.
Yeah, right on. Thank you so much and for Deborah. Joining us. Can you qualify for us? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you've been doing.
Sure. So I'm the Etienne de la Buisi Squared is a pen name, and I'm a voluntarist author that wrote a book called Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed, where the subtitle is How Intergenerational Organized Crime Controls the Government and the Media. And my thesis is that government, I'm a voluntarist, means you don't believe in the legitimacy, the desirability, or the necessity of government. And you can never have a, you know, you can never have a real government, a legitimate government, a moral government, because it's absolutely positively, morally, and logically impossible to delegate rights that you don't have yourself to a representative or a government to represent you doing something you don't have the ability to do yourself. So if I don't have the ability to take Deborah's money or make up rules for Deborah myself, I can't delegate that right that I don't have to a representative or to a go do something that I don't morally have the right to do myself. You can't be bound by a contract you didn't sign. And if it's wrong for Adam and Etienne to vote to has to give us all our money because we outnumber her democracy. Well, if democracy doesn't work for two people, it doesn't work for 10 people, it doesn't work for 250 million or 350 million people. And so, but there's nothing that can take something inherently immoral and make it moral just because the majority decided to vote for it in a rigged election. So, what is government? Well, government is a technique. It is a technique to rob and control society that has been used going all the way back to monarchy. They were the first quote unquote governments. And when monarchy started to fall apart, you know, people didn't believe in the divine right of kings anymore, et cetera. Then monarchy got together and decided to give us democracy and constitutional republicanism or whatever, just a different form, flavor of government, the ability to take people and kill them. And they've been using that to rob and enslave the population. And it's been the government and the media working together the entire time. Control perception is their number one weapon. And so we're going to control every channel. We're going to deceive every audience. And, you know, if you're stealing trillions and trillions of dollars every year in bailouts, stimulus, and unnecessary warfare against enemies, manufactured, you know, with lies and manufactured intelligence, well, it costs you really nothing to work, you know, to spend, you know, a couple $100 billion a year to control every channel and deceive every audience. And that's really been the name of the game, is can we control perception by controlling the information people receive, either by the information that they receive in the mandatory government school where they teach you in your formative years that it's legit that they get to rule you and this is why we get to rule and you've got the greatest government in the world and it just doesn't get any better than this. And you name it, that's the lies that you're told in the government school. And then it is on the old media side, about six companies running hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries to give everybody the illusion there's all these diverse news outlets anymore. But these hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries roll up to six companies acting as a cartel on the kind of old media side, radio, newspapers, print. And then on the new media side, there's about two dozen search engines, video sharing sites, social media sites, Reddit, Wikipedia, Discuss, Amazon, Netflix, et cetera, then have been given unlimited funds to consolidate their own industries and dominate their little corner of the information food chain so that they can lie to you, propagandize you, and algorithmically censor any truth from getting to you. And so that's the system that we've been living under. And I think that it's good that we're going to talk about the Oklahoma City bombing today, because that is an example of where the government and the media covered up the murder of, hundreds of hundreds of people, I believe. I don't remember the exact death count in Oklahoma City. They actually set off 168. They set off a bomb outside of the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. Outside of a daycare center to tar the militia movement that was growing rapidly to discredit the militia movement and smear it as racist and baby killers. And so I think it's a good, good little flashback and in illustrative of, number one, how the government and the media are working together. And number two, how the organized crime government is more than willing to murder men, women, and children to sell their version of reality to the population in collaboration with the media. So I think it's a real good way of doing that. The book is available at government-scam.com, and you can download a PDF preview version for free at government-scam.com. And then I have all of the evidence to back up claims about Oklahoma City, a viral flash drive Dropbox that we call the Liberator at government-scam.com/liberator. And so you can actually see some of the videos and some of the evidence and the Benton Kent K. Parton report that we're going to talk about available there. So the book is backed up by 16 gigabits of evidence in either, a credit card sized flash drive or a Dropbox where you can create your own flash drives and get around the algorithmic censorship on the DARPA internet.
That's awesome. I agree with, everything that's in your book is stuff that I've already been exposed to and felt. A couple weeks ago, we had on this guy, Legal Man, and he broke down some of the problems with democracy to Deborah. So I think that she's a little more open to viewing it as not quite such a perfect example of how, the government should be run. So where do we start off?
Well, let's check in with Deborah. Deborah, are you good with that? Or Deborah, you good with that the democracy is illegitimate?
Yes, I absolutely have come to that conclusion.
I didn't know you were all the way there.
Darn it.
Well, it's not that I'm all the way there, because I certainly don't know everything, but I don't trust what I hear.
Cool.
I don't take it at face value.
Wow. That's a big,
Deborah, I'm kind of bummed, because if you hadn't said that, I was going to suggest to Adam that we vote that you give us all your money, but you seem to have realized the fraud in the system.
Deborah, do you think
that, looks good on paper?
Deborah, do you think that I should come to your house with an AR-15 and demand that you give me 30% of everything that you have?
No, I don't.
Howard, do you?
Are you going to do good things with it? Are you going to take care of the poor, the needy, the disadvantaged, and the children?
Yeah, I'm going to say that I'm going to do that stuff, and you and I can vote yes, and it'll be real.
Exactly. And that is the problem, is that, you know, most people, that idea that democracy is legitimate because it was force fed them in their government school before they were old enough to really evaluate the logic and the morality of that system. And now, you know, it takes, because they, you know, because it was given to them before they were old enough, it's become kind of like an instinct and a reflex, and they just, you know, this is the way it's always been, and they just kind of accept it, and they've never really thought about it. And you really, really have to, you know, kind of get to this point where, you know, you got to make it real for people and really get them to think about, you know, these ideas that were force fed them in these mandatory government rules. And it can take a while to, you know, to have that moment of insight and that breakthrough to realize that, hey, wait a minute, maybe the system isn't legitimate at all. And maybe we're being robbed and tax farmed. You know, through a system that's been designed to rob and control us.
Yeah. And democracy is just, it's one of those anchor words that's in everybody's mind, and everybody, just because they've heard it their whole life, thinks that it's legitimate or that it's the only way that things can be done properly. Whereas if they had been taught the same thing about communism or socialism or fascism, that it would just be that too. And when you talk to people about it, you say, like, what do you like about, you know, why is democracy good? They can't defend it in any logical way whatsoever.
Yeah. And I'll give you one more thing before we start talking about Oklahoma City, but so I don't want to give away the book too much, but in Government, the Biggest Scam in History Exposed, you'll also learn how that, you know, one of the techniques they've done is they've slipped the idea of government to the population as a religion. It's a pseudo religion. You know, they don't call it a religion, but they use all the tools and the techniques of an unethically manipulative religion or a cult to put these ideas into people's minds in their formative years, where they don't understand that they're, you know, that it's being given to them as a religion. And so the flag is the, you know, artificially indoctrinated holy symbol. You've got the holy documents of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights instead of the Bible or the Quran. You know, you've got the church, you go to the church school where the teacher, the priest, you know, stands up in front of the room and teaches you the mythology of the founding fathers. And, you know, they take the kids to Washington, D.C., Mecca, you know, around kind of middle school, and they take them to the cathedral of the capital.
Yeah, that the
looks like the Vatican for a reason. Yeah. And they take them to the temples, and they show you the deities, the founding fathers, and then that produces a taxpayer that's willing to tithe, hand over a percentage of his income voluntarily to the religion without realizing that they're being chumped and they're having game run on them. And that same playbook is being used by all of these governments in one form or another. But like in the first part of my book, in a very visual way, I break down the 20 techniques, you know, used by quote unquote governments to create this culture of tax slavery. And it is a religion. And if you've ever seen people, you know, religiously doing the common prayer at the sports game, you know, the sporting events, or, you know, pledging their allegiance to, you know, the artificial holy symbol, or, you know, driving around with trucks with flags and having the flags in their, you know, their yard, the same way that some people put three crosses in, you know, on their property or something like that. I mean, it is 100% an indoctrinated, unethically, you know, an indoctrinated religion using unethically manipulative techniques on kids before they're old enough to really understand that somebody's running game on them.
Yeah. And then once, you know, once you get them early, it's just in there. It's in there for life. So, yeah.
Yeah. We used to pledge allegiance.
Almost. So a lot of people, you can
pull our heart. What's that?
Yep. I absolutely, I did it too. And I was in a Cub Scout and a Boy Scout, and I did all the flag worship. And I mean, I would make a muscle. I would make a muscle when I was, you know, doing this, doing the salute to the flag. And it's only, you know, looking back with the insight of, you know, the historical knowledge and study and learning outside of the government school system that you realize that these are ancient techniques. They've been used by monarchies. They've been used by, you know, all kinds of tyrannical regimes. The United States is using the exact same techniques as Nazi Germany, as the Soviet Union, as East Germany. This is tyranny. But, you know, most people, because they're religiously attached to the idea of being an American and being in the tribe of America, and don't realize that the government is propagandizing them and product placing the American flag and into movies and television shows, and using a technique called anchoring, where the propagandists will build the audience up to a moment of high positive emotion and then show you the flag, anchoring that to that thing. And they put, the NBA puts the American flag on the backboard, so you associate the exhilarating goal with the flag. And they'll, you know, you'll, next time you're watching a football game, you know, somebody score a touchdown, and then they'll cut to somebody in the audience waving an American flag, or somebody in the military to get you anchored to the exhilaration of the touchdown with the flag. And the players have to wear the American flag on their helmets, and they're forbidden to take them off. And this is game. These people are being chumped. And so, you know, because I, you know, break it into pictures, I explain the techniques, I show the historical pattern, and I use visualization to help people understand. Like, if, you know, when we started off, I mentioned that, you know, it's running hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries to give everybody the illusion that there's all these different channels and all these different, you know, sources of information out there. And your audience may or may not believe me, but if they go and download the book for free at government-scam.com, they can actually see media ownership charts and organizational charts that you know, break it down. And because they see it with their own eyes, you're like, oh my God, it really is. There's six companies running hundreds and hundreds of subsidiaries to give everybody the illusion there's all these like different choices out there. And because they see it with their own eyes, then they come to insight much quicker, and they're able to, like, you know, kind of piece it together. And so the book is really designed to take somebody that's never been exposed to this, and then take them from 0 to 60 and wake them up, because they see it with their own eyes, and they can actually see, you know, how three organizations have maneuvered hundreds and hundreds of their members into dozens and dozens of ostensibly independent media outlets, so that they can, sell COVID, or they can sell the scam of the bailout or the next war, whatever it is that they're trying to scam the population on. Until you see how all of these ostensibly independent media outlets are connected together in these three organizations that Jeffrey Epstein was a member of, then now what I do is I've made something that was invisible to the population now visible visualization. And then people are like, oh, that's how they're doing it. Oh, they really do control every channel. Oh, they really are organized into, you know, these different organizations. And because you see it with your own eyes, but we've made something that was invisible now visible, then people can kind of really understand what's going on at a deeper level. And then they come to that moment of insight, like, quick. And so that's really what the book is designed to do. It's designed to take somebody and wake them up as fast as humanly possible, so that we can get this government out of our hair, and the society can thrive and flourish and be way wealthier than we are today, and have way more freedoms and way less harassment by these shave-headed cult members enforcing the edicts of this artificially indoctrinated statist religion on their friends and neighbors.
Perfect. That's a hell of a speech. So how can we relate this to what happened April 19th, 1995 in Oklahoma City?
Sure. So, you know, because I know that there's younger people in the audience that weren't around at that time. So I think that we start out and we go backwards in time, even before the Oklahoma City bombing, to give everybody a flavor of what was going on during that time. And before the Oklahoma City bombing, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms was engaged in two incredible examples of government tyranny. They were engaged in something called the standoff at Ruby Ridge, where ATF agents murdered the wife of a gentleman named Randy Weaver, who they had tried to entrap with the victimless crime of selling a shotgun that was a quarter inch. Yep. They just bugged him, and they had an agent provocateur that bugged him and bugged him and bugged him to sell them a sawed-off shotgun. And then when he sold the shotgun, they began trying to arrest him, and there was a standoff at his cabin in the woods, and a member of the, I think it was actually the FBI's hostage rescue team named Lon Horiuchi shot his wife. Yeah, his wife in the head at the door of their cabin. I believe they murdered his 14-year-old son. And so that enraged the American population. And then right after that happened, there was another ATF raid on a church in Waco, Texas, called the Mount Carmel Center. They were known as the Branch Davidians. It was kind of like a little minor sect, sect in Christianity that they thought wouldn't be too popular. And some of the Davidians were gun dealers, and they made their money selling legal guns at gun shows throughout Texas. But because they were gun dealers, they had an inventory of guns. They had a lot of guns, and it was a compound. And so the ATF was up for some budget hearings, and so they tried to stage the spectacle of a raid on an unpopular religion that had a lot of guns. And the idea was that they were going to pull up in cattle trailers, and they were going to get out of the cattle trailers. You know, they're going to look like they were just, lost in Waco. And then when they pull up in the cattle trailers, they pile out of the cattle trailers, the Davidians' dogs start barking at all these, armed men piling out of the cattle trailers. And some of the ATF agents shoot the dogs. And then once the ATF agents start shooting the dogs, then the other agents thought that that was fire coming from the house. And so the ATF began emptying their weapons into a house filled with men, women, and children. There's 911 calls where you can actually hear the Davidians on the phone with 911 begging them, saying, "Hey, please tell them to stop shooting. There's men, women, and children here. Please, for the love of God, there's men, women, and children." And after about 10 minutes of the ATF just raking the house with fire, the Davidians get fed up, go get their guns, and start fighting back. And the government story was that the second that they pulled up, that the Davidians were the ones that started shooting at them, and the Davidians just raped them with like brutal gunfire. And then it was the Davidians. And then that whole story fell apart with anybody that has two neurons to rub together, because the ATF runs out of ammunition, and the Davidians actually let the ATF go. And so if the Davidians are so intent on murdering all of these guys, they set up an ambush. Then anybody that's got two neurons rubbed together ought to know that it doesn't make any logical sense for them to let them go. But there you go. You can actually go see video of the raid. I recommend Waco Rules of Engagement is one of the documentaries, the FLIR Project. There's other documentaries that actually will show you the ATF walking away with their hands up, as they're carrying, their comrades, away. And so the ATF let them go. A standoff ensues. The FBI takes over for the ATF. They're putting out things saying, "We want to talk to the press." They won't let them talk to the press. Then after a number of days, about over a month, I think, go by, then the FBI makes an assault on the compound using quote-unquote military equipment. So they had Bradley fighting vehicles and tanks, and they began punching holes into the church and inserting tear gas, which is flammable, and shooting in 40 millimeter tear gas rounds, which are pyrotechnic. They burn as they're releasing the tear gas. The building is set on fire, and it burns. 80 men, women, and children die in a conflagration. And unfortunate for the FBI, they had a plane that is circling overhead shooting something called forward-looking infrared video, which is video that captures heat instead of just pure, the full light spectrum. It's only looking at heat and heat signatures. And the FBI introduces some of that video as evidence into court testimony through discovery. The defense team goes, hey, we want to see the whole video. And the FBI is like, oh boy, and has to give them the entire video. And what do you see on the video? But you see people deploying off of the back of the armored vehicles, shooting anybody trying to leave the burning building. So the FBI and according to eyewitnesses eyewitnesses from special operations and from the intelligence community, it was Delta team squad B pulling triggers in Waco, murdering men, women, and children trying to leave this burning church. And so that now completely inflames anybody paying attention. And so now militias begin to form in the United States. The population begins to widely realize that the government just murdered 80 men, women, and children and covered it up with the help of the media, and now begins to form constitutional citizens militias and begins to arm up to take out this organized crime government in Washington, D.C. So now fast forward. So now you've got a militia movement, and now the government needs to do something to demonize the militia movement in the United States. And so now we come to Timothy McVeigh, a sheep-dipped special forces guy that supposedly washed out of special forces. The official story is he is a racist believer in something called the Turner Diaries, which is just a racist creed, a white supremacist creed against the federal government, not written very well. You know, they're not going to base it on any kind of true constitutional understanding. They're just going to, that supposedly they're going to paint the entire militia movement as white supremacists and crazies. And he establishes his legend. He shows up at some militia events in different states and makes sure that, people know who he is and what he's doing. And then the official story is that he pulls up by himself in a rider truck that he'd rented and had constructed ammonia nitrate fuel oil explosive bomb. So you can actually, if you mix ammonia nitrate and fuel oil together, fertilizer and fuel oil, it actually produces a not very powerful explosion. And it's very, very hard to do it right because it all has to be mixed exactly, kind of right at the right proportions and everything. And so it's kind of very hard to do. And supposedly he detonates this right next to a daycare center in the Murrah Federal Building in Oklahoma City. And it caves in over half of the building. And that is the official story. Now, what isn't known, now we'll talk about what isn't really known and understood, is that an Air Force general. And so, by the way, when I discovered all of this, I was working at one of the big four think tanks in Washington, D.C., and I had at my disposal a $3,000 a month LexisNexis terminal. And LexisNexis was the internet before it was the internet. You could get access to any news article, any news transcript, anywhere, almost in the world. You get, and you had to pay per article charges. But I very, very quickly realized that the story that was coming out of Oklahoma City from the mainstream national news media was very, very different than the story that was coming out of the local newspaper and the alternative media in Oklahoma that was on the scene. And also, it was the first time that I'd seen anything disappear down the memory hole. And when I say disappear down the memory hole, during the first day that this happened, while the news media was live, before the organized crime media was able to exercise editorial control and begin to shape the story coming out of Oklahoma, because it's all coming out live, they find other bombs in the building. And they begin removing these other bombs. And so the governor of Oklahoma had a press conference where he talks about other bombs. Other city officials, they talk about other bombs. There's video of the Oklahoma bomb squad bringing their bomb truck up to have them remove the bombs. There's video of the rescuers and the first responders being evacuated out of the building with people trapped in the rubble, leaving people trapped in the rubble saying, we'll be back for you. You know, there's other bombs in the building. And so every station is reporting that there's other bombs in the building. And in our flash drive of Liberty, the Liberator at government-scam.com/Liberator, you can actually see these press conferences and these different various government officials, you know, talking about these other bombs. And then the next day, poof, it's gone. Just never happened. We'll just never talk about it again. There's no other bombs. It was just the ammonium nitrate fuel oil bomb. And then everything that happened day one just gets put down the memory hole. Now, the other major thing that the organized crime media forgot to tell everybody about it is that a one-star brigadier general, Air Force general named Benton K. Partin, P-A-R-T-I-N, who ran the Air Force's armament testing laboratory and who blew up buildings for a living and designed weapons for a living and was a world-class expert in explosives, took one look at the damage pattern and took a look at the aftermath of the building and realized immediately that this was not an ammonia nitrate fuel oil explosive. No way could it have done the damage that it said that it did. It just didn't have the distance that it was away from the columns. There was no way it would have knocked down these columns. There's no way it would have even blown the facade off the building. There'd been other, you know, bombs, ammonium nitrate fuel oil bombs that had been set off that, you know, barely knocked off facade, much less, you know, structural columns and rebar and able to cut rebar. So number one, the bomb wasn't powerful enough to do the damage that was caused, as well as just taking a look at the news, at the photography done, of the building by the media and by others, there was obvious what's called Boussant damage, which is evidence where a bomb was actually placed on the column itself and where you can actually see that bomb, not instead of, you know, because if you actually was responsible for shredding the column, shredding the rebar, and all of the bomb damage or the rubble from the building was tossed across the street. So the official story is the truck bomb was in front of the building. And so the blast wave should have pushed everything into the building, but instead you had evidence that something was detonated in the building and then that sent material across the street. Okay. And then finally, if it had really been an ammonia nitrate fuel oil explosive, well, that produces a gas of an ammonia cloud and a cloud of gas where people would not have been able to breathe. They would not have been able to, you know, get near that. They would not have been able to get near that building for quite some time, just because of the aftermath of an ammonia nitrate fuel oil explosive. And so the whole thing didn't make sense at all. It was obviously that the story wasn't real. And so Benton K. Parton wrote a, you know, wrote up a detailed explanation and began hand delivering it to members of Congress. Actually went to Washington, D.C. He lived outside of Washington, D.C. He was actually the chairman of the Republican Party in Fairfax County at one time. I don't know if it was, you know, the exact overlap, but literally began hand delivering, you know, a report, and none of the media would cover the guy who runs the Air Force Weapons Testing Laboratory doing it. He wasn't the only expert. A guy named Sam Cohen, who invented the neutron bomb, came out and publicly said, this is BS. This is absolutely impossible. The government is lying to you. So world-class experts in explosives are kind of coming forth and explaining, you know, that this is all, you know, not what was going on. And then, you know, as my book, you know, makes the case, it's the government and the media working together. There was one news station, Channel 4, in Oklahoma City, that was reporting on the original story, and they get bought by the New York Times organization, and then they quit reporting on it, and the reporters get let go. And so we're controlling perception by controlling the media, and anytime a media operation gets out, we're stealing so much money that we just step in, we buy that media operation to silence it, we put in our own editor, and that's the way the organized crime system works. If you're stealing trillions of dollars, then we call the hundreds of billions you spend to control the media, it's just the marketing budget. And they're selling you things that don't make sense, that violate the laws of physics, that obviously aren't true. You know, anybody can take a look at the black, you know, you don't have to invent the neutron bomb. You don't have to run the armament testing laboratory to understand that something, a bombs went off in that building and pushed all the debris across the street, versus if it had really been the truck bomb, everything would have been pushed towards the building and nothing would have gone all the way across the street in the complete opposite direction. And so, but that's the level of mind control he has, is that most people never see the other side of the story, because they're controlling every channel and they're deceiving every audience. And so I very, very quickly realized, you know, that this was not true. And then, as did many people in Oklahoma City, a movement in Oklahoma City got together. They impaneled a grand jury, and they had Oklahoma City Bomb Investigation Committee that led by a state rep named Charles Key. And they hired private investigators. They did their own investigation, and they found massive evidence of government foreknowledge. They found massive evidence that the government was involved. And so the entire thing was made into a documentary called A Noble Lie, which essentially takes the work of the Oklahoma Bombing Investigation Committee and then does some of their own research, and really blows the lid off exactly how and why it was done. It's an excellent documentary. It's called A Noble Lie. You can see the entire thing for free on our flash drive of liberty at www.government-scam.com/liberator. And you can download the whole film, and you can see and understand how the government and the media were able to murder, blow up a federal building and a daycare center, and blame it on the militia to tar the militia movement. And I'll stop there just to see if you have any questions, and just take a break for a second and see if that jives with what you understand, Adam, and see if Deborah has any questions.
Yeah, that's a great film. It's it was available for free on Amazon Prime for a while, up to a few years ago. It's not anymore. And the guy Chris Emery, who made the movie, he's on the Ripple Effect podcast with James Corbett talking about this. So you can find that one. I think it's Ripple Effect number 184. So check that one out too. I know Deborah's seen it. I know what it means, but I want, Deborah, do you have any questions first?
No, you go ahead.
Okay. Can you explain to Deborah and the audience what sheep dipped means?
Yeah, so Tim McVeigh, the supposed person that did all of this, supposedly washed out of Special Forces training. And so sheep dipping is where they take someone that is obviously a special forces guy or an intelligence agency guy, and they give him her identity. It's called creating the legend. They legend that he's a militia movement guy. Oh. He's disgruntled. He washed out of Special Forces. He wasn't really in the military, even though he really was still in the military. And we know he was in the military because he was caught on tape, on video, at a military base. He was supposedly still military. And even on his death certificate, his occupation was U.S. Army. He'd also told his mother and his sister that he was out of Special Forces training and to be essentially, a secret agent. And to do, operations exactly like this. And then when he was arrested, he was under the care of a guy named Dr. Julian West, who was the military's number two guy in mind control. And so they had number two guy in mind control, making sure he wasn't going to say anything that he shouldn't say while he was in custody, and make sure he was going to stick with the story. And then supposedly he was killed by lethal injection. At least one of the witnesses say that they saw him as he was being away. He was still breathing as he was, as they were wheeling him away. So at least one of the witnesses to his lethal injection said that he was still alive when they moved him away. I don't know if he's still alive. I can only tell you these firsthand accounts and these witness reports and the evidence and what he told his sister and his mother. Maybe they moved him off screen to some kind of island somewhere. Maybe they killed him later on and just made it look like that he was still alive, so that other people in his situation, would go along with it, thinking they were going to get to go to the island or whatever.
Yeah. But, little St. James Island.
Little St. James, whatever island it is that they move these people off the set, because it's just, we're controlling perception. The entire thing is, Washington, D.C. and politics as usual is a television show. There's no difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. It's a worldwide wrestling match designed to distract and deceive the population from paying attention to the things that really, really matter and the information that would set them free that is being algorithmically censored from them on the DARPA internet and not being, shown on this monopoly media system.
Yeah. So Deborah, what happened was he's discharged from the military on paper, but he actually just still stays in. So how they caught him was this, we talked about it when Monica Perez was on. This guy went to film, he was like a movie producer, and he went to film at a military, just to like check out a military base to see if it would be like a good spot to film this movie he had coming up. So he's just walking around the place with the camcorder, like filming stuff. And he looks into this tank or like some sort of armored vehicle. And there's a guy down in there working, and he like kind of climbs down and looks and starts talking to him. He's like, "Oh, what are you doing in here?" And the guy looks up and it's Timothy McVeigh. And it's the timeline is that it's after he's been discharged from the military.
Uh-huh.
So they have that footage on A Noble Lie. But yeah, what do you want to
so
get
that's
in?
The level of deception that we're under. Yeah, I can go down some of the other, some of the other kind of some of the other evidence, just to wrap it up. But the ATF was warned not to come in that day. They were caught lying about being in the building. They said some of their agents were in elevators that had were free falling, you know, when, and then the elevator companies that were actually in the building that day came up and go, no, none of the elevators went into free fall and none of the elevators had been forced open. So yeah. The ATF was caught lying about that. The ATF had an informant named Carol Howe in a white supremacist compound called LOM City. And she testified that they were scouting targets. There was evidence that state rep Ernestus took, it was a U.S. congressman. He said that they had, told people that they knew that this was coming, that they had, prior knowledge. The bomb squad was working in the area that day. There was one of the witnesses, they had the greatest manhunt in history. And there were multiple witnesses that says there was a John Doe number two. They circulated photos and then they said, oh no, that was all, everybody's just mistaken. Even though there's all these witnesses that says it wasn't just Tim McVeigh, there were others involved. And so those other witnesses were just discredited, and some of them were threatened. A police officer by the name of Terrence Yakey that was evidently doing his own investigation was murdered horribly. Looks like he was tortured and murdered. Right after he told his friends that he was being followed by the feds and he was going to shake them and go to where he'd put the evidence.
So he committed, the story is he committed
there
suicide.
There was seismic.
He committed suicide by beating the shit out of himself, tying his hands behind his back, then walking out into a field like a mile and a half off the road and shooting himself in the head. That was
plausible.
Yeah.
And wasn't there another person?
So all of these things, none of these. So the
Go wasn't ahead, Deborah.
Wasn't there?
There were three people that were.
I think we have a delay.
Yeah, we got a delay going on.
There was another person that supposedly looked like somebody else, and they brought him in and beat him up and.
Yeah, Jesse Trenadue.
Yeah. And he died, right?
Yeah, he was a prisoner.
Jesse Trenadue's brother.
Or Kenny.
Kenny Trenadue, yeah. Okay.
Kenny.
Yeah, Jesse Trenadue was his brother who was an attorney. And after his brother died, he began looking into his brother's death and he realized that it was a case of mistaken identity and that they had beat his brother to death in a federal transfer center and then disposed of evidence defiled the crime scene. And just there's just a number of different of government criminality that's in play here that most people do not realize is going on because all of this is being kept from them by this control of perception, organized crime media system that is designed to deceive every audience and to distract you with children's games played by adults and look at the studio filled with fabulous prizes. And it's only a very small percentage of people that when they discover that this is going on, that they say, oh my gosh, we've got an organized crime government. We're all being robbed. They're doing evil, evil, evil things. We need to do something about it and are able to take themselves off the television, take themselves off of the distractions of the mainstream media and, children's games played by adults and really get themselves into the fight to expose this. And to begin to teach, pull your kids out of the mandatory government school where they're running game on your kids and do something that would free them from this tax slavery system that we find ourselves under right now.
Yeah, that's a good spot. Well, you think that's a good spot to wrap it up? I think we've given everybody more than enough evidence to go out there and start looking into stuff on their own. What do you think?
Yeah, the one thing I would suggest is, I don't, you know, I like, I've told an entertaining version of the story, but I don't want any of your audience to believe anything that I said. What I'd like to do is, I'd like for people that didn't already know this happened, and a lot of people already know details, including more details than I know. But if you doubt anything that I say, given the stakes, you know, go in and look at one of these for yourself. Dig in for yourself. Don't just, you know, don't just believe, you know, what I'm telling you or what Adam is telling you. Go and watch the documentary A Noble Lie. Go and take a look at General Benton K. Parton's report, which you can find on the, you know, on the internet. Go and take a look at a, you know, an interview of Benton K. Parton. Go to, you know, government-scam.com/liberator and take a look at the interviews. Or take a look at the footage of the bomb squad being pulled up and all of the press conferences announcing, you know, multiple bombs found in the building that went down the memory hole the next day. And just dig into one of these for yourself to understand the level at which the government and the media are lying to you about these very, very important events, and understand that you don't have to have, you know, you don't have to have a PhD in chemical engineering to understand that the government story doesn't make any sense. It's physically impossible. It didn't happen the way that it happened. All you got to have is just a little bit of common sense yourself to go, how does a truck bomb that supposedly goes off in front of the building take stuff within the building and blow it across the street to the other side of the, you know, of the street. Anybody can understand this. All it takes is a desire to know the truth, and the truth will set you free, because the quicker you realize you're being lied to by the government and the organized crime government and their organized crime media, the quicker you are to freeing yourself mentally, and then ultimately freeing yourself from this tax slavery and this organized crime system. Once you understand how the magician does the trick, you can't be fooled by the magician anymore. They do illusion, man. They do illusion.
Yeah. And one thing I'd like to say before we get off is that, you know, it's been 25 years since this happened, and the government used this to vilify, you know, the scary white militia domestic terrorist. And they're so uncreative that today they're just replaying that same narrative. Like, who's public enemy number one right now? It's these domestic terrorists that they're calling them. So I think that's really relatable. Deborah, thoughts?
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak to your audience. Deborah, any last questions for me?
Very enlightening. I've read a little bit here and there and seen the noble truth, but it's really good to get your perspective and get more in depth with it. And I am really excited to look at your website.
Yeah, you should get his book too, Deborah. Yeah. Howard, one more time, tell everybody where they can find your stuff. And then right after we get off the call, will you send me all the links to it, and I'll put it in the show notes?
Absolutely. It's government-scam.com. And if you want to download, before it disappears off the internet, we don't have access to the internet. If you want to download a Liberator flash drive, create your own Liberator flash drive, you can get to the Dropbox that has 16 gigabit of evidence, not just on the Oklahoma City bombing, but on 9/11 and Waco and some of these hoax shootings for gun control and some of these terrorist events, at government-scam.com/liberator. And you can download that for free. You can download a PDF of the book with all of the active links that have, you know, all of the evidence supporting everything that I've said today. I've got 16 gigabit of evidence You know, on the flash drives, backing up everything that we said here today. You can see the videos that went down the memory hole. You can read the report from Air Force General Benton K. Parton. You know, you can see the documentary at Noble Eye for yourself. Don't believe me. Just go and take a look at one of these for yourself. You will be amazed. I promise you, you will absolutely be entertained and amazed in the sense that, like, I just can't believe how once you realize what the government did in one of these, why anybody would believe anything that the government or the media tells them about anything, the COVID, the bailouts, the next war for oil, whatever it is, you know, once you realize the degree of deception and the criminality of the government and the media who are working together, like I said, you know, you're not going to be fooled again once you realize how the magician does the trick. Government-scam.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Howard. This has been truly amazing. And, you know, open invite whenever you want to come back. If you ever want to talk to us about anything, or you got anything else coming out. I know you got some other projects that are really valuable and stuff that I'm interested in. So we'd like to talk to you about those sometime too. And yeah, just thanks a lot. Deborah, I love you very much.
I love you, Adam.
Thanks for having an open mind. And everybody listening, thanks for everything. We love you all.
Yeah, thank you.
Peace.
Thank you.
Stay free.
Stay free.
We're out. Later, guys.
Peace, love, and voluntarism.
Right on. All right. Thanks, Howard. Or thanks, ATN. Sorry. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.